Today in the show we have NFTs being considered property in the UK, the crypto drama in Argentina, De Beers Tracer blockchain platform, and much more. I'm your host, Mauricio Magaldi, and this is Block Drops, your weekly digest on blockchain for business. These news are not a form of endorsement, sponsorship, or encouragement for consumption, and are meant for educational purposes only. One of the most interesting things about the world of blockchain is that blockchains, because of their immutable nature, and because the data is traced from inception to wherever it happens, can help us digitally identify ownership, which means that if I have in my wallet, the wallet for which I control the private keys, an indication on the blockchain that that wallet holds a specific set of digital assets that are registered on the blockchain, people can see that, and that's proven ownership, that Mauricio's wallet holds those assets. Those assets could be any cryptocurrencies, any tokens, or even NFTs. So NFTs, the non-fungible tokens, are tokens that are unique in the blockchain, and they're provable ownership by sitting on a particular wallet. But that's all architecture. This is all technology. This is all databases, although decentralized, but they're recorded. They have private keys. They have primary keys because they're databases. But this is all architecture. This is all technology. And that doesn't mean too much in the real world. But things are changing. Now, in the UK, one ruling of UK's highest court ruled that NFTs can be considered property. So the victims of NFT theft can now call for help when their assets have been stolen and the recipient's wallets can be frozen through the use of court injunctions. That is not exactly a direct relationship between a regulator saying, well, yes, NFTs are property because they're sitting on a blockchain and the blockchain points to whoever owns the NFT, but it's an indirect consideration on what NFTs mean in the digital world. Again, this is not a direct ruling of a regulator, but it's a consequence of the interpretation of a high court in the UK about what NFTs actually represent in the digital economy. This case in hand was a process in the high court, and the case is Lavinia Deborah Osborne against Person Unknown and Ozone Networks Trading, OpenSea. And this was filed in March, and Osborne is the founder of the Women in Blockchain Talks, and she had two of her NFTs from the Boss Beauties collection stolen through a hacking scheme. In the high court ruling that is yet to come out in writing, they allowed the victims to obtain court injunctions against individuals whose crypto wallets have been identified to be carrying the stolen NFT and the NFT platform on which those NFTs were being sold, meaning that OpenSea cannot sell stolen NFTs. Now, this is not a small win for the world of NFT, because we know that when you're on a blockchain, you are your own bank, and you have to deal with stuff as one, and you don't get to cry for help. Now, this is important, because if this is a path for more regulatory clarity and legal safety, legal stability, that means that there is a path for conversation that couldn't necessarily rely on regulators, but it could be through, say, legal battles that will little by little will be seeing the acknowledgement of NFTs or digital assets as provable and now legally provable digital ownership of digital assets. So this is an interesting development. We'll keep tabs on this because this seems to be another path for mainstream adoption. And while we are in the topic of legal security or legal validation, there was a lot of drama this week in Argentina when it comes to the crypto markets. And our hermanos in Argentina had a pretty tough wild ride this week when two banks in Argentina announced that they were starting a crypto trading services as part of their product offerings for their clients. One was Banco Galicia, which is one of the largest private banks in the country. And the other one was the digital bank Brubank. They both announced early in the month that they were launching their respective trading platforms. Some users had already started seeing some of that some of those options on the menu. But a couple of days later, Argentinian Central Bank, BCRA, announced that the regulated financial institutions wouldn't be able to offer their clients to carry out operations using digital assets, which in and of itself is a big confusion because we know that there's a lot of money invested when you're trying to develop your financial product, especially being a bank. There's a lot of regulatory compliance stuff that you have to put on top. There's a lot of admin overhead and management overhead. It doesn't go out cheap. So having products being launched and 2 days later being shot down by the regulator is not a big, big prospect for these two banks. And I'm assuming this will also trickle down on other banks in the country who were initially assessing or even developing their own products in the same fashion. This in bigger context, we've reported this a few times, the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, was in discussions with the Argentinian government for additional economic help because of the current economic situation of the country, and had advised the Argentinian country government to not pursue the regulation or the openness to crypto. Otherwise, they would risk this monetary support that the IMF was going to provide. So I'm assuming that this reaction by the Argentinian Central Bank is a direct response to that words of encouragement from the IMF. So again, what we're going to see is a standing battle between crypto adopters and regulators that don't understand the importance of crypto to their own economies, which, again, in Latin America, Argentina is one of the countries with the highest rate of adoption of crypto in the regular population. Because of the economy such as it is, there's a high volatility, you know, from the peso to the dollar, which is world reserve currency. So in emerging markets in general, crypto adoption, crypto, which is also very volatile, is not as volatile to them as it is for people in developed countries. So the adoption of crypto is really high in terms of the degree of population. And interestingly enough, there's an anecdote that when Vitalik Buterin, founder of Ethereum, visited Argentina earlier this year or late last year, he was recognized by taxi drivers, by waiters, by regular people on the street, because they know crypto. It's a very developed crypto country for like the regular people, and the banks are just falling behind in that regard, and so is the regulator. So interesting to see the developments, because I think if anyone gains from adopting a set of new economic guidelines that would empower the population to participate in crypto, there could be good support in terms of the local economy, maybe even without the help of the IMF, who knows. But we'll keep tabs on this, because this is also something that could influence the rest of the region, where Brazil is the neighborhood. One subject that we have long discussed on the podcast, but hasn't shown up so much, maybe because of the overall financialization of blockchains, is traceability. And this week, the global diamond mining firm, De Beers, one of the largest producers of diamonds in the world, announced the launch of their blockchain-powered platform called Tracer, TRACR. De Beers has been long experimenting with blockchain. Tracer itself has been piloted and tested since 2018, and they finally released the platform to scale to the rest of the mining industry. Right now, De Beers accounts for 25% of their diamond production by value as being registered through Tracer, and has been doing so for the first three sites. Sites is the term used in the diamond industry for a sales event, and it's the same as a batch or a lot of diamonds that are put out for purchase. This platform ideally will give producers and retailers access to the tamper-proof records of provenance, which is one of the features of immutability, and then the site holders, which are the companies that buy that in bulk of rough diamonds, will benefit by the data for those diamond credentials, which then will allow retailers to add assurance that the diamonds have origin and pedigree. Also, another feature for Tracer is that Tracer will be able to register 1 million diamonds per week, which is a massive upgrade to the centralized platforms that the industry currently uses and have been largely criticized for creating bottlenecks historically for the flow of diamonds globally. Now, interesting to see this because diamonds were the first use case that I remember seeing back in 2016 with Everledger doing traceability of diamonds. And this is very important in this industry because of the high value of diamonds. The prices are, to the millions. It's interesting that you can tell where these diamonds are coming from. It's not coming from a blood mine, or they're not coming from like a conflict region, or isn't even fraudulent or fake diamond. So because the amounts are so huge, having diamonds being traced in a provable, immutable, decentralized system makes sense for the industry, and it tends to also increase the overall GDP, the global GDP for the industry itself, because now it has more provenance and it's not only held back by bottlenecks for legacy systems. Pretty interesting to see this taking shape finally at the global scale. And because the week was packed full of news, here is more. Ethereum Layer 2 blockchain Optimism announced they're turning into a DAO and plan to launch a governance token, OB. The New York State mining moratorium might be bad for business by scaring away the crypto industry. Wikipedia announced that they're no longer accepting crypto donations. Solana had an outage of over 7 hours over the last weekend, again. FIFA announced a partnership with green blockchain Algorand. The SEC announced that they are doubling the size of the enforcement of their crypto assets and cyber unit. TechLinker Asia partnered with AAA to allow for remit of payments using crypto. Former Billboard executive Julian Hogan is the new Doodle CEO. Yes. The NFT project. The European Union report hinted at a new approach to regulate DeFi. We still don't know how good that is, but it's an indication that they're moving towards that as an expedited pace. Georgia, the country, not the US state, unveiled their new cryptocurrency law will be ready by the next fall in the Northern Hemisphere. Instagram is supposed to support NFTs from Ethereum, Polygon, Solana, and Flow, This should be announced formally next week. And Gucci, the luxury brand, the high luxury brand, announced that 5 of their stores are going to accept crypto as payments. The Block Drops podcast is available on Anchor FM, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Numis, and iColab. You can reach out to us through Instagram at Block Drops Podcast, on Twitter at Block Drops Pod, and via email blockdropspodcast@gmail.com. Yay! Shout outs today to the people who share the links you will find in the episode notes: Laura Shin, Andrea Frosinini, Joan Hamilton, Alexander Grieve, Kathy Hackle, Thiago Amaral, Brian Sanya, Simon Taylor, and Leandro Pereira. Don't miss out the largest blockchain summit in Latin America between September 1st and 4th. BlockchainRio.com.br has all you need to know. And don't forget to leave your rating on your favorite player. This is all for today. Stay rare, stay weird. LFG.